Bibles this afternoon to the book of Ephesians. A letter that the Apostle Paul was inspired of the Holy Spirit of God to write to the Ephesians, which God, through His Spirit, has preserved for our reading today. The fourth chapter of this book of Ephesians, or this letter. And last week we began looking at verse 25, and we'll read that now. Wherefore, putting away lying. Wherefore? Why for? Because we, the Ephesian church, the saints at Ephesus, had been put on the new man, which was created after God in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, don't lie.
Yes, amen.
Is that something you learned about Jesus Christ? Is that something we've learned in our travels through the book of Matthew? That Jesus Christ lied? Did He teach us to lie? No, He didn't. The word that He spoke were words of truth. He was truth. He is the truth.
Amen.
We saw this morning in our message this morning that He is wisdom. How much wisdom? All wisdom and knowledge. You want wisdom and knowledge? Go to Jesus Christ. There it is. And He'll give one to you. Wisdom and knowledge. So put away lying. We dealt with that last week. Probably didn't do a very good job of limiting our thoughts to just lying. Because how can you speak on lying and not give the other side of the coin? Truth. But that's what He does today. And in the phrase that we want to look at in the rest of the verse today, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we're members one of another. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Well, we were admonished in verse 15 of this chapter, a verse that we looked at several weeks ago, two or three months ago now. But speaking the truth in love. You see, we're not going to be liars. As new men in Christ Jesus, we're not to be liars. We're to speak the truth. We're to do it in love. But we are to speak truth with every man.
Amen.
Truth with our neighbor. Well, we're going to get down into that, and we're going to dissect that a little bit. The scriptures, well, first of all, turn with me to the book of Zechariah, and we'll get to the passage of Old Testament scripture that it seems as though the Apostle Paul, led by the Holy Spirit, was alluding to. The passage that we have in Zechariah chapter 8, in verse 16, and the instructions that were given. These are the things that ye shall do. Some things that ye shall do. This was speaking to the children of Israel. Spoken to them. What shall we do? Speak every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. Let that sink in. In your gates. We could say, within your land. Within the land of Israel. Speak every man the truth with his neighbor, executing the judgment of truth within your gates. Scripture, the Holy Scriptures teach us quite often that our neighbor is our fellow man. This passage in Zechariah was speaking to the children of Israel. Their neighbor was their brothers in the land, Israelites, and strangers who came into the land, who gave up their heathen ways and converted over to Judaism. They were considered their neighbor. It even spilled beyond their borders. If they had dealings with folks beyond their borders, they were to speak the truth with them. And the principle that Scripture teaches to us that our neighbor is our fellow man.
Yes, amen.
But context. And I'm hesitant to emphasize this here, but we have to emphasize it here. Who was this letter addressed to? It was addressed to the church. The church at Ephesus. The saints which are at Ephesus. In verse 16, he says that they are members in the body of Christ, from whom, verse 16, the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So he's speaking to specifically to church members at Ephesus.
Yes.
To Christians. And they're to speak the truth with those within their gates, within our church membership. We're to speak the truth, every man, with one another. We're to do it with all Christians. All within the kingdom of God. That's all those who are saved, living here on the earth at this present time. Wherever they may be, if we come into contact with them, we're to speak the truth.
Amen.
But we're also to do it with every man.
Amen.
Every man. You see, salvation does not abolish the moral law.
Amen.
In fact, it reinforces it. A child of God is to be committed to the truth.
Amen.
You and I are to be committed to the truth with one another within this church membership, with one another within the kingdom of God, with one another on this earth. Everyone on this earth, we're to be committed to the truth. We're to tell the truth. And we are to do so in love. You see, there's a sense in which we can tell the truth, but knowing the truth to be harmful, and I'm wanting to get you, I tell the truth to so-and-so, so that they'll think bad of you. I spoke the truth, but I spoke it with malice of heart. I spoke evil. I spoke evil of my brother. We are to put away all falsehood. You see, why would I do that? Why would I do that? Why would I be so, shall we say, vindictive? Is it not to make myself look better? When you do that, is it not really, at the root of it, is it not to make you look better? In the eyes of someone? Which, if that someone is faithful, it'll just make you look smaller and not better, you see. Our fellowship with God depends upon our telling the truth. And that telling that, speaking it in love, honestly, and sincerity. Turn with me to the book of Leviticus. And that's the thing that God, through Moses and even through Zechariah, was trying to get across to his people. That they speak the truth, that they do it in honesty and sincerity and in love. In chapter 19 of Leviticus, a verse that we looked at and before we closed out last week, in verse 11, and I wanted to go back there today, he said, "Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another." Do you get that? This, why is this so? You say, now you just gave the principle and the thought of fellowship with God demands that we speak the truth. How does this verse show us that? Because after he gets done setting down these laws and these principles, what does he say to them? What does he say to the children of Israel? He said, "If ye will do my commandments, you'll be blessed."
There's blessing if you will obey all my command. Is not this His command? You will be blessed if you do it. You will have communion and fellowship with me. And you'll receive blessings at my hand. But if you disobey, what? Cursings. You'll not be blessed. You'll not be blessed.
So, we're talking about fellowship. You want to be blessed? You want fellowship with God? Listen, for a child of God, and I've been there. For a child of God not to have communion with God. That's cursing. That's a dark place to be. That's a dry place to be. That's a desolate place to be. You see. Our fellowship depends upon it. Our fellowship with God. Turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. In chapter 1. Verse 9. Well, let's read verse 8. In these two verses, verses 8 and 9, they go back to a principle that I said, our salvation does not abolish the moral law. We reinforce it. Well, this letter is written to a saved man, to a minister, to a preacher, to a pastor. He says, but we know that the law is good. If a man uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers. Oh, I got to be reading that wrong. For liars? Liars is lumped in there with all the rest of them? For liars. For perjured persons. Well, that's a liar. Mm-hmm. Isn't it? Mm-hmm. They bore false testimony. That's a lie.
Amen.
And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, it is contrary to sound... Liars are contrary to sound doctrine. If it's contrary to sound doctrine, is God pleased? What have we done? According to 1 John 3, we've transgressed the law. We're lawbreakers.
Amen.
We've sinned. According to 1 John, if we walk in sin, we have not fellowship with Him. Our telling the truth depends upon our fellowship with God. Our speaking the truth. As we said last week, what's truth? Jesus is truth.
Amen.
Speak the words of God. That's truth. Let God be true. And every man a liar.
Yes.
Romans chapter 3. Turn,
turn to 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, and of course this is talking about the last days, and boy, we sure do see these things multiplied in our day and time. Not that they haven't always been there, but it seems like we're really seeing them multiplied in the day and time in which we live, which signifies the end, the last of the last days to me, anyhow. In verse 5 he said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I wanted to go to verse 3. Excuse me. Without natural affection, truth-breakers, false accusers. Well, if they're falsely accusing somebody, what is that? Isn't that a lie? And don't you get sick and tired of it? Let me tell you what.
We're going to talk politics for just a minute, and I'm not endorsing any one side because they're both to blame. They're both liars. These advertisements that they're flooding the TVs with right now, they're both liars. Why? Both of them are guilty of taking clips of what this fella said and putting it over here and making him like he taking it out of the context of what he said and putting it in a different context to make it say something entirely different. They both are guilty of doing that. I mean, I heard some of those things spoken from their mouths. I know the context in which it was spoken.
They're false accusers. They're falsely accusing the other one of saying this. And yes, they said it, but not in the context that it appears that they're meaning they said it. False accusers. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, from such turn away. God's not pleased with it.
If God's not pleased with it, He withdraws fellowship. He withdraws His blessings upon you. Not that He doesn't continue to bless you to a degree, but not to the degree that He would if you were walking in fellowship with Him.
Communion with Him. Now turn to the book of James. James chapter 4. Here we go. You might be speaking the truth, but as it defames someone's character, and that's what you're speaking it for, it's evil. It had evil intents behind it. That's what James is addressing here. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Did you catch that? Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. You see? Well, I've heard people say, and I've done it myself. I didn't say anything that wasn't true. You would not talk about my intents and what I said. You get it? We're to speak the truth. And we're to do it in all sincerity and honesty and love. With no evil forethought or malice aforethought. enter in. Wow. That's not human-like, is it? But it's God-like.
Amen.
It's God-like. It's Christ-like. And that's what you and I are called to. And here is a principle. For we are members one of another. For we are members one of another. In the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are members one of another. We're in the same body. We ought to all speak the truth. And I ought to speak the truth to Brother Ron. Brother Ron ought to speak the truth to me. And vice versa with everyone here. Not only his church, but his kingdom. We ought to do it to fellow Christians. Whether we agree eye to eye on every doctrine, every truth, everything contained in the Word of God. Listen, there was a time that I didn't believe some of the things I believe today. And I dare say there was a time when you didn't believe everything that you believe today. If you've done any study of the Word of God and grown in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so we're to speak the truth with every kingdom member. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. That by two, in verse 18, Hebrews 6, 18, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, it's an impossibility, there's no possibility of God ever lying. Jesus Christ was God, just as much God as God the Father and as God the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was just as much God. Impossible for them to lie. Hebrews chapter 13 tells us Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forever. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Let me tell you something right here and now. Every kingdom member has the same Father. We all have God as our Father, and God cannot lie. That means we should not lie. And we're going to get into that in the next chapter, the very first verse. We're to be imitators of God as His children. Just like children imitate their fathers and mothers. And I'll tell you what, my children at first didn't like it, that they were so much like one or the other of us, but now they've just thrown up their hands, they are what they are. And we ought to be that way with God. We ought to be imitators of God. Just like Him. You see. But, again, remember our context. He's speaking wholly and primarily to church members. Members of the Ephesus church. And as it is preserved, this letter to the Ephesian church, the saints at Ephesus, was preserved, and we have it for our reading today.
It is so with every church member here because we are members one of another.
We ought to speak the truth. Speak the truth to our neighbor, to one another. First and foremost, principal context. Secondary, to all kingdom members. Third application, to anyone who's our fellow man. And that's us all. That gets us all. We're of one blood. Acts 17. The book of Acts, chapter 17. In verse 26. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the...
It doesn't matter, red, yellow, black, or white. We all came from Adam. Came from one blood. We all came from Adam. You say, well, I thought the great flood came and destroyed all that. Well, who was saved? In the flood. Noah and his sons. Who were they?
They were of the seed of Adam. And all of us have come from one of the three sons of Noah, having come from Noah. And Noah having come from Adam, we've come from Adam. Every one of us.
Amen.
Well, we could solve a lot of the problems in our country today, couldn't we? Got up and just preach that, huh? You think they'd like it? Verse 16 of our text again, dealing with our text, showed us from whom the whole body fitly framed together, joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto itself and edifying of itself in love. Chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Is there any doubt that this was written to church members at the church at Ephesus? Saints at Ephesus, who were set there by the Lord Jesus Christ. They were fitly joined together, compacted together, according to every joint supply. Now the edifying of the body in itself in love. Speaking the truth is God honoring. It honors God, and therefore we have fellowship with God when we speak the truth without malice aforethought, without envy in our hearts, but simply speaking the truth to one another in love. If we speak
not the truth,
are the unsaved going to believe us when we preach the gospel?
Supposing that you have been caught lying to someone, and then you want to speak the truth, speak the gospel to them. Speak the truth. You want to speak the gospel to them. What do they believe? Can they believe what comes from your mouth? Can they believe what comes from my mouth? All right, suppose this scenario. Suppose I've preached the gospel to them. I've witnessed to them of what Jesus Christ has done for me. And then a week or two later, they find out that Seth Bourne has lied to someone.
What's that do to the gospel that I preached to them? Was that a lie? Two?
See how important it is that we speak the truth? Speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth helps to keep away schisms. That is, if it's done rightly, they keep away schisms. But now if it's the truth and evil speaking, as James spoke about in chapter 4, verse 11, well, that's just going to breed schisms, divisions, you see. But speaking truth in love and sincerity, honestly, keeps away schisms. Speaking the truth in love promotes edifying of the body and oneness. Think about that. Listen, if there's no schisms, there's no divisions, then is it not promoting oneness in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and edifying the body? The truth, this here, this book, the truth, edifies the body of Christ. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. In closing, the book of Psalms, in chapter 15. Look with me at verses 1 through 3. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? That's a good verse to pause and think on right there. He's asking the question, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Who shall dwell in the house of the Lord? Who shall be lifted up on high? He answers it. Verse 2. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. What's that say? He's not deceiving his own self. When we think that we're something we're not, we're deceiving our own selves. Speak the truth in his heart. And if you're speaking the truth in your heart, what do we know about the heart? What's in the heart comes pouring out, doesn't it? So if speaking the truth in your heart, then what comes pouring out of the heart? Truth. Truth. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, speaking evil with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor. That's not just the doing, you know, speaking evil of your neighbor is doing evil to your neighbor. Nor taketh up a reproach against it. These, he says, he that don't do these things is the one that is going to be found in the house of the Lord, is the one that is going to be set on high. He's the righteous man. He's the one who is created after God in righteousness and true holiness. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Just four more verses. Proverbs chapter 8. Look with me at verse 6. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Oh, that right things would only always come out of my lips. Not as James said, with the tongue, therewith we curse men, and therewith we bless God. Isn't that true? Well, and the opening of my lips shall be right things, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Oh, that it would be an abomination to my lips, that it would not come forth out of my lips, off of my tongue. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you today, this afternoon, for your word.
Yes.
For your words of instructions. Oh, may we take to heart the reading of your word, especially these scriptures that we've looked at concerning truth, concerning lying, concerning that which rolls off our tongues and out of our lips. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, help them to be righteous things. Help it to be good things. Things that honor and glorify you. Things that are pleasing in your sight. And that does away with speaking evil of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Does away with speaking evil of our fellow man. But seek to give them always the truth of God's word, and that in love and in sincerity and honesty, hoping to effect the righteous work of our Heavenly Father. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.